are in the house on the Black Conversion Show. You're tuned in to 92.7 FM with your hostess with the mostest. And she does get it from her mama. Brandi Grayson is in the house with my beautiful co-host.
April.
It's
usually me. I don't know you pointing to him.
I mean, y'all ain't been here in 8 months. And our...
And your favorite cousin, Clyde, with our favorite producer...
Luke.
All right. Happy 2025, everyone.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I am so excited to have my co-host back in the studio. It gets kind of lonely. But let's do a quick check-in. What just happened? My mic just went out. It didn't go out on your end? Okay. All right.
I can hear you.
Okay. But my headphones, it was ghetto. Maybe it's the headphones. It was going in and out. I was like, oh, my God. Anyway, let's get back to what I was saying. Happy New Year. And let's do a quick check-in, y'all. I haven't seen y'all. We got a cousin Clyde in the studio with his jail uniform on and all orange.
Ready for whatever.
Look, y'all, on Facebook. Look at cousin Clyde.
Hey, y'all.
I hope he ain't going to jail because I'm going to have to come bail him out immediately. We got your back.
You can't hold me down. Want to jump being a bad...
All right. Good morning, Dane County. And let's check in with cousin Clyde. How are you doing today?
I am doing well. It is 2025. I am following my resolutions. Some of them look like going to the gym every single day during the week.
Okay.
I need some real results. Another one looks like praying with people when I feel like in my spirit, like if we're having a conversation and they're going through something, like I'll get this like little, you should pray with them. Or before you guys pray.
Bring me that
divinity
energy.
I've been
praying
with everybody that is like, God is like, pray with them.
Yeah.
And just being more of me. You know, they say 2025 is the year
of abundance.
And completion,
and
right?
And completion, yes.
So that can look like if you've been working on something, it's finished and it's ready to launch. Or if you have been working on something that's at its end, it's complete.
Okay.
So I'm just excited about all those things and where I'm going with my brands and things of that nature.
I'm excited for you.
Thank
you. I am actually really excited for people known as Black because I've been getting a lot of that energy from folks around me in my network and my community about being deliberate creators of their experience, of their worlds, and allowing good things to come to them and being more intentional about aligning themselves and their inner being with the divinity that we all know is real. I don't know if all y'all know, but I know you know. We all know.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. April, how you doing today?
I'm good. Happy New Year. Yeah, so similar to Clyde, I'm working on my mental and physical health. So doing more self-care, just taking care of myself because, you know, if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of others.
No, you can't.
And then also physical, trying to get back in the gym. You know, I have a membership that's been sitting there just chilling.
Just wasting money.
Right, wasting money. But I like working out. I feel better when I work out.
Yep.
You know, I have more energy. So just trying to be more mindful with that and eating better. I love to cook, so just making sure that I'm, you know, doing salads. And why you make that face?
Because you do love to cook.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that was a good face. Okay. I like your cheesy potatoes.
Oh, thank you. They're not healthy, but yeah, they're good.
They're good, right.
So yeah, that's about it.
Good. I'm happy to hear that. I, too, have last week, for our listeners who was tuned in, me and Luke, our producer, was talking about our intentionalities starting this year. Mine is also just mental wealth, self-care, getting back to who I know I am. I shared last week that, you know, being in a relationship can just get you off track because then you become one and then trying to find the balance of what that means. So I've been very intentional, working out, meditating in the morning, meditating at night, and reading, and just reminding myself who I am and who God has created me to be and who I'm becoming. And that also means being careful with my words, complaints, and my energy and people around me. So I haven't been going out. I haven't been hanging out. I haven't been drinking because I find that the more I drink, the more negative I am, even though I love to drink. So don't get me wrong. Tequila is my friend. And my favorite tequila, if you ever want to buy me some, is Don Julio. But I've been very intentional about just being aware of how I'm showing up in the world because I do desire to be who I say say I am and who God said I am. And that is transformative, inspirational, and empowering despite all my haters, because y'all be showing up everywhere. Okay, let me just share real quick. Let me just take a second. I'm at a CBDG, which is a Dane County board meeting, and they asked me to come and present about urban triage. Now, we have one CBDG-funded program. It's like $25,000, not a lot of money when you consider our budget. And I come and I present this beautiful slide deck and all the programs, and everybody's like, wow, you guys do a lot. And yes, we do. And big ups to all of our supporters, our sponsors, our investors, our funders, and our staff, because without y'all, it would be no urban triage. So after we complete on everything and I do the presentation, this white guy, Jeff Geisley, whatever his name is, but he used to be my boy back in the day. He was an attorney. He helped us, you know,
Glazer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he helped us like get stuff done. I had questions at the beginning of urban triage. He answered those questions. I really like this dude. He shows up with the question of, hey, you know, recently urban triage has been in the news for financial questions and concerns. And I'm wondering, what is your internal risk measures, or how do you financially manage so many programs and funding? And I said, that's interesting that you would ask that at a presentation about our work and how amazing we're doing. But since you want to ask the question, I'll be happy to answer it. And it's no different than any other nonprofit organization that often has a CFO and a CPA and internal mechanisms, including having to touch three people and go through compliance and reviews and all of that stuff, and making sure we have, you know, an accounting system. And I just want to say to y'all, the only reason that there's a question about our financial management is not because there was fraud, not because we've never had met deliverables. And when I say us, I'm meaning Urban Triage nonprofit organization. I am the founder and CEO. It's not because of any of those things. We've had single audits. We are audited and open records requests every other day as part of my job. It seems like to be part of our world, because y'all don't trust Black people to do the work. And when you find that Black people are doing the work well, you automatically have questions. So I just want to encourage us to know, like, I would say F you, but that's not the way to say it. So I'm just going to say, be blessed, and I'll continue to give you the paperwork that you request. But I just want to remind you guys, Jeff and everyone else, that we good over here. We're going to continue to be good because we are covered in the blood of God and Jesus and all those divinities. And I just want to smile at that, because y'all a whole hot mess. And I also want to talk about this dude, Nino Amano. I don't know who he is, but he keeps showing up at the county supervisor board, claiming and declaring and making accusations against urban triage, wanting forensic audits and all these things. And then accusing Dane County contract managers and supervisors of being in cahoots with urban triage. Like, there could be a cahoots. You think white people going to cahoot with us? I'm going to say no. You think Black people are going to cahoot with us? I'm going to say no. Y'all barely like us. All y'all like us to do is serve you and provide you with the resources. And then y'all hate behind our backs. And I'm not saying all of us or all of y'all. I'm just saying this is general energy that I receive out loud, because the folks who are usually cheering from you are usually in the background more quiet. It's usually the negative energy that gets the most clout. But I just want to recognize that I am so happy about urban triage and our work, and proud of our supporters. And for our listeners, you're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. So that's just my feedback and give back and my, you know, kind of like what I've been up to. Real quick check-in. And for the folks who are not used to listening to Urban Triage, Black Conversion Show, we love to start our show with relationship conversation. And we have a conversation for y'all butts today. And if you don't know, love and Black and relationships is political for people known as Black. So we always start on that topic because it's one of our biggest challenges. And if we know, when we talk about community, relationships and and building is how we build community and have community. So that's why we talk about it. So one of the topics we want to bring up today is polygamy.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
I want to talk to y'all about polygamy and not dating, but having relationships with multiple people. And we're not talking about cheating. I'll start with you, Cousin Clyde. What's your thoughts on polygamy?
Okay, what part of polygamy do you want to talk about?
Wherever you want to start. Do you support?
Can you remind the people of what polygamy means?
It's when you have agreements. And there's different versions of polygamy, right? I don't know them. It's not part of my lifestyle. However, the general idea and definition is you are in relationship with more than one person. And you're open with those relationships. And you communicate about those relationships. And everybody know about everybody. And there's boundaries and agreements that kind of govern the relationships. And so it's just open, like you might have
open and honest.
Open and honest. Yeah. So I might be dating you and my partner, and then my partner knows on Tuesdays and Thursdays I'm with Clyde.
I actually like that type of thing. Especially in 2025, I do believe that relationships don't honor the old loyalty systems anymore. And I feel like I hear about more people.
Why are you laughing, April?
Listen, I feel like I hear about more people cheating on each other and sleeping with everyone. And sometimes it's like, for me, I'd be like, you should just be honest with one another and have an open relationship so that you can stop breaking each other about loyalty, right? And so polygamy is, I actually like polygamy.
And open relationships aren't necessarily the same as polygamy, right? So open relationships can be defined as, I say to you, I don't do just monogamy. I date whoever I want when I want. And I don't need to tell you about who they are. Just know that this is the way that I operate.
Right.
So open relationships, my partner or one of the people I'm dating may not know anything about the other people.
Right.
Whereas polygamy, we're in like an understanding agreement. Together.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I feel like if I'm dating you and you're dating me and you say that you want to have an open relationship and I choose to continue to date you, that's an agreement. We're both on the same page about you could do what you want to do. And 9 times out of 10, the other person is doing what they want to do. So I think that polygamy and open relationships brings back the value of trust and honesty.
Mm.
We just want to continue to carry this old form of what a relationship looks like. And that is not possible
anymore. I just wonder, too, if there was ever trust and honesty. Because we often romanticize what things used to be. But I'll go ahead and give it to you, April. What's your thoughts? She's shaking her head.
It's a big no for me. Absolutely not.
You ain't going, April?
I'm not going.
Man, listen, people get cheated on every day. Y'all better open y'all minds or y'all gonna be cheated on.
If my partner would come to me and be like, look, I want to be with somebody, bye. Because I'm not doing that. No. And if you cheat, then it's over.
Right.
Like, I don't... So, I think polygamy and open relationships are completely different. Polygamy, you say, these are the partners in our relationship.
And you agree
on
the terms.
It's a relationship with these partners.
Yeah.
And it goes back and forth. On Tuesdays and Thursdays, you're with this person and this person. Whereas open, it's, like Brandy said... I'm out here you don't know who I'm with,
right?
Like, it's completely different.
But it also still requires honesty, right?
Does.
And agreements, because the agreement might be safe.
But also, I'm too jealous. Like, I'm not, you're not going to be out here with anybody else. Like,
I get that.
And I get, Clyde, I get your point that I guess it's good that it requires you to be open because it's better than being cheated on.
Yes.
But also, no, I want a relationship where you can be open with me to be like, we're going to be in this together, just you and me. Like,
all that.
I shouldn't have to give you the option to be out here.
Watch the clock. Put a pin in there.
That's
so we're going to continue the conversation on polygamy when we return. We're also going to talk about all the drama and the tea locally in Madison, Wisconsin, and Dane County. We're going to talk about this food group in national news as well, and Cousin Clyde and all his messiness on Facebook. Stay tuned, because you do not want to miss it.
Messy.
From physically fighting to verbally fighting to a guy trying to kidnap a little girl and coming back to kidnap her again, and to a black restaurant in Wisconsin receiving an award. Stay tuned to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. All right, you are back in the studio on the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with our girl Beyonce playing in the background.
Hey, Beyonce Bowl.
With your hostess with the mostest, Brandy Grayson, co-host April Kageya, and
your
Cousin Clyde.
Your favorite Cousin Clyde.
And we're going to jump right back into it. Prior to the break, we were talking about polygamy, and for people known as black, relationships are political. So we always start there with love and relationships, giving it over to our co-host, April Kageya.
Okay. Yeah,
finish your thoughts.
So what I was saying was, I don't think, for me, this is just me personally, I shouldn't have to have an open relationship with my partner to be honest, to be like, oh, well, in order for you not to cheat, it should be open. No, I should be able to be like, look, here's the situation. I want a monogamous relationship. Therefore, there should be trust within us to be like, look, I don't want you to be with anybody else. You don't want me to be with anybody else. Therefore, our relationship is going to be solid. Now, if it comes to a point where you feel like you can't do that, then there needs to be a conversation so I can be out, because I don't do that, period.
Yeah, but I think, okay, so we're talking about a lot of different dynamics in one. One, I would just want to clarify that that open relationships and polygamy are folks who live those lifestyles, right? And there are folks who live the lifestyles of monogamy, and that's okay too. And I just want to say that I support whatever works for you. I am a believer in self-actualization. However you want to identify as a person, gender, sexual, however you want to construct your relationship is good. As it relates to me, I would participate in an open relationship, actually. I would participate in open. I would participate in polygamy. I've never tried it, but I would give it a try. I am like you, April. I am pretty jealous, and I am very codependent. So that's one of my trauma things from childhood. So I have to be very deliberate and aware of myself because I attach to the people that I love, and I want to be in your skin. Like, you know, so I don't know if that'll work, but I would try it.
Yeah. So what made you... think about it. Like, what made you
Because
feel like...
I feel like, speaking from a heteronormative perspective, that men, generally speaking, are cheaters, right? So I'd rather be in a relationship where we're honest, where you could be open and honest, like, hey, I don't want to be monogamy. And then also, I don't have to be monogamy. And we create those terms and agreements together. I would practice it and I would try it. Now, I don't know if it'll work out in the end for me, like if emotionally I could take it, but I would definitely try it. I'm a really big on integrity, honesty, and being transparent. So I think if that's the way to get it, I would do it. And I think I'm mature enough. And I think the challenge is men often see monogamy relationships and people who identify as men and hold that masculine energy in their relationship. They often, generally speaking, this is not all men, but generally speaking, marriage and monogamy relationships are often to their benefit, right? Yeah. And often they're actually not monogamy at all. You are, as the woman, playing the role of that role, but they're out here doing all kinds of things. And people in boxes, disrespecting the relationship, trying to get a quickie, and they don't have the same sexual or the same emotional attachment to sex. So they could go do it and come back and feel nothing and still, quote unquote, be in love with you. So I'd rather be in relationships or try relationships where there's complete transparency. Yes. But I don't know if it'll work. But I could hold, I could be in relationships with two men, though, I think.
So are you saying you would try it if the man wanted to try it?
I would try it, period. If I found a partner would be interested in it, I would try it because I wonder how it is. I wouldn't mind because the whole thing, too, is one person can't complete you. Like, there's needs that I have that I would love to explore, or I would like to explore, like, if there's other people, like, can I love two people at one time? I don't know.
I don't necessarily think it's about love two people at the same time, but I do think that it's a situation where someone can meet your needs and you don't have to have a sexual relationship with them. And it could be another male friend.
Yeah, let's do...
So you mean like an emotional relationship with one and a sexual relationship with another?
Like, let's say the man that you live with is overworked. He works 12-hour shifts 6 days a week and he's not there to be with you. There could be an understanding that I know that you have a good guy friend that I actually will allow in my home when I'm not here.
Yeah,
you
like those agreements.
Guys can go on dates together. Yeah. Right? But I'm telling you, in 2025...
I might be too jealous, too. I don't know. You can't come in my house.
We
you
all
go to
are
going to
be jealous.
Don't come up in my house.
We
land
all
on
are
going
to be jealous, but guess what? When we all... Because we've all been to the point where we have been cheated on.
I'd be wearing his suit. I couldn't.
Listen.
Let's do this, Luke.
We'd be locked up, for sure.
And you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show.
I don't know if I'm talking to folks that ain't been through it.
You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. Luke, do me a favor. Let's go to our audio by, what's her name? Ayana Van Zandt.
We're going to call her auntie.
So just for everybody, that's the Black auntie of the community for, you know, everything. Love.
And family.
So let's go ahead and listen to her real quick, starting at the, she's on the Breakfast Club. Thanks, Luke.
What do you think about people who are into like the polygamy nowadays? Those relationships were...
Well, see, I'm old, so I could do polygamy. See? I would just want her to be younger so he don't have to be bothering me.
Okay. Hey, you do the knee work.
Go over there. She's 42. I'm 70. Go on, take your butt on over there.
You didn't do that?
Yeah, oh, yes. Okay. You know what?
You joking? Are you serious?
What do you think the benefits could be?
I'm very serious.
Really?
Yeah, she's smart. Could do that. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, I couldn't because I didn't know who I was.
That part. Mm.
And I didn't understand the value and the purpose of a relationship. Mm. So when I was younger, I didn't do cheating. I didn't do cheating.
I still don't do cheating.
But I could do polygamy. I could be one of other wives
and
in
could.
This day.
Everybody's getting cheated on.
I couldn't have done that when I was 30 or 40. I didn't. Mm. I ended up marrying a man who was a polygamist. My second husband came out of a polygamous relationship. And at that time, I thought, you know, you're cheating. I still don't do cheating. Mm. If we're going to do that, it has to be an open conversation and agreement. But you sneaking around the corner with, you know, Chris D'Amata, no, mm-hmm. I don't do cheating. Because you know why? It's dishonest.
Yes. I agree.
And if you're going to lie to me, then I can't trust you.
That part.
But if we sit down and this is what we want to do, I like it because you be over there sometime, I'll be over here, I don't have to cook.
Okay.
I save my toilet paper.
Okay.
You don't have to get my toothpaste.
Okay.
And I don't think we can tell people who
to
they
love.
Can and cannot love.
Yeah.
Thank you.
If I love you and you're saying this is what you need to support, satisfy yourself, why would I say no to that? Because I know who I am as a woman.
I'd be out though.
And I don't know if it's possible.
You can have it without me.
One person to satisfy every
okay, thank
need
you, Auntie.
Another
we got it.
Has.
All right, Luke. Thank and you for that clip. I love her, and I love her her stance on it because I think that's a whole nother level of evolution within yourself.
Man.
Because you love someone enough, and you love them in the way without conditions. I love you, and I accept you for what your needs are. And the challenge is most people don't know themselves, so even cheaters don't think they're going to cheat until the opportunity presents themselves. And dogs are, never mind. Go ahead, cousin Clyde.
Well, and that's to my point. I know I've been in relationships. I'm in friendly relationships. I see my friends in relationships.
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, majority of them in 2025, because we are living in new times, are facing a lot of fights and infighting.
Yeah.
And a lot of that fighting and infighting comes because you wrote somebody on Instagram.
And Facebook.
You liking somebody picks
texting
them. Yeah.
People.
So yep. I think that if we
fishing.
If we approach the conversation and just say, hey, if I'm not meeting all your sexual needs and we had an agreement
or
at first.
Or emotional needs.
Yeah.
Or spiritual needs.
It starts emotional a lot of times.
Yeah. We need to revisit that contract.
Yeah, I agree.
That's grown.
I agree. And let's get back to this. We're going to wrap it up after this break. But you guys want to stay tuned because, you know, Black Conversion Show is all about the local tea. Let's talk politics. Let's talk politics and politics and all the poly. Okay. And we got our cousin Clyde, who's always in the mess. So you guys want to stay tuned and listen to cousin Clyde. And April Kageya is also our co-host. We're going to talk about everything in the news, from national news to kidnapping to awards and all kind of stuff. I don't know what else we're talking about, but it's a lot. And you want to stay tuned.
Okay. Don't go nowhere, y'all.
And hey, what do you call the lookers? Y'all want to stay tuned too on the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM WMDX. Your hostess with the most is Brandi Grayson, co-host cousin Clyde and April Kageya. We'll be back in a jiff. Not our Luke, not the producer coming hard.
Hey.
We about to have a showdown up in here.
Okay.
In our jail uniform. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson and my co-host
April Kageya.
And your favorite cousin Clyde.
And our producer Luke. We are so happy to be back in the studio. So let's recap real quick. We were talking about polygamy, Black relationships, love, the new year. I don't think we got further than polygamy because it's such a good topic. But we're gonna leave it there because we got so much
touch
we want to
talk. Yeah.
Anyway, we're gonna summarize and say I support Brandi Grayson supports polygamy. I support honesty, trust, and transparency.
I
support self-actualization, doing you anything that makes you happy as long as it doesn't harm other people.
Exactly.
So let's talk about one of my favorite restaurants in Dane County, Short Stack Eatery, located downtown off State Street in Gorm or Johnson or something like that. But I've been going there for years.
Love Short Stack.
And they're closing.
So sad.
It's super
officially
sad.
Officially closing their doors in May.
Mm-hmm. They have the best bacon. Everything is local. Everything is organic and fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And they're best very food. Social justice aware and grounded and founded. Super active in the community and equity. The owners, Alex and Sinide. What's y'all thoughts on Short Stack closing?
I love their food. They give back to the community
yes,
in terms
they do.
Of money, donations.
Mm-hmm.
They host a lot of events at their space for Black oriented businesses. Alex is on your board.
Yes, Urban Triage Board. Yep.
Their food is bomb. Their drinks are bomb. Mm-hmm. Get their lemonade and add liquor to it like I do.
Customer service is bomb.
Customer service is good. The line is always out the door, yes, which is always a huge testament to their food.
Okay. Yes.
And also, a lot of people don't know that it is expensive. That spot on the corner of State Street, it's like... $14,000
just for the rent.
Yep. To rent. Mm-hmm. Also, they pay 100% of their employees' insurance, which is unheard of for organizations. Like, they take care of their people, small business. Care of the community. Mm-hmm. Like, they are pillars in terms of what to look for business owners. So, they are going to be missed hugely.
Yeah. And I saw on the news there were a couple of their ex employees that were hating. They said they had some issues with, it was on NBC 15. And they were, last night, they were hating on, saying they didn't like how they did their tips, and they was like, people aren't always cracked up to be who they are. I just want to say this as a business owner, as a manager, as someone who have staff, you can't please everybody all the time. Mm-hmm. And just because you have one voice speaking up, it's all, like I said, it's always the negative voice that gets the loudest when it comes to people. And we love it because we love tea. Yeah. But I want to say that what I've experienced with them has been nothing but love and equity. What about you, Cousin Clyde?
I feel like they are not the only restaurant and businesses that are shutting down in our city. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a larger conversation that our government needs to have about why successful restaurants and organizations and companies are not able to survive. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're closing because they don't have a passion for the food industry. They're closing because they can't afford it.
Right.
And to have something on State Street, which State Street is completely washed up at this point and old, for $15,000 is insane.
It is insane.
And their restaurant is so small. Like, no shade, it's three small of our studio sizes.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a point where the mayor and all these other folks in government needs to have a conversation, because we're losing good people.
Local businesses.
Good local businesses.
Yeah, and we have, State Street has had a few bars and restaurants open up. I think it's like Stuff Olive, The Roxy, and then there's this other place down there. I really like it. A lot of young folks are there, but those are other businesses that are open up. So I don't want to say, Cousin Clyde, that it's dried up. There's some good potential in State Street.
And
but
they're going to close too. Like, this is literally, no. If you pay attention to economics, this is how this happens.
And
at some point, they have to rediscuss tax property. Like, or all those things that people are paying to be over here.
Yeah, it's just the cost of
doing business.
Doing business is super expensive.
This city does not think about its citizens at all.
So just know, Short Stack employees and owners and managers, we love you. You would be greatly missed. And we look forward to whatever your new...
Like, I hope they leave this city, go to a bigger city that treats them well.
You can leave.
And they can take their chain. They can franchise
don't leave me. Take me with you.
Everybody that takes their companies away from Madison is super successful.
Let's talk about your experience regarding Short Stack Eater. You're going to do a review today, and you've been entertaining people in the Madison Foodies Group.
Yes.
So you guys check out the Madison Foodie Group. It has about 70,000 members.
Yeah.
And these folks in this group is off the chain.
Yeah.
So they've been hating real hard on Short Stack, and it has been hilarious. What's been your experience?
So I got the news from actually being in that group, and the comments, the devil is in the comments, right?
Yeah.
And so the comments streamed from them being a lesbian couple, them being taking PPP loans up to $400,000, which that is not facts, them opening up two GoFundMes to raise money, and then them taking a picture on a plane. It just spoke volumes of, like, people hate women, people hate lesbian people. Like, it's just so many attacks against them versus, like April said, you can ride down State Street and not even know what Short Stack is, but know by its lines that it's somewhere you might want to go. No other restaurant on
has
State
lines
Street
like that. In the
lines.
Cold.
In the cold.
And no matter what time it is, the line is ridiculous. Super ridiculous. But shout out to Short Stack owners, because I always get to walk in front of the line because of my relationship with them, which is nice, because then I just walk past all these hating white people and they'd be mad and they'd be cold. And I'd be like, reparations, we have a reserved table. And mind you, they don't reserve the table for everybody. Right. So shout out to my friends.
But
I love having
volumes
friends.
Of the infighting, right? Because a lot of people in the Madison Foodie Group are white people.
Yeah.
And they're, like, literally destroying each other. And so to see that, it just shows that humankind isn't addicted to dysfunction and bullying. Drama.
And you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson and
April Kigea.
And your favorite cousin Clyde.
So we love you guys, and the misogyny, the hate of women, and the homophobia and the hate of folks
real.
Who self-actualize as they see fit is real. And then we wonder why our kids bully. We wonder why we have gun violence. We wonder why people have mental health issues. Y'all really need to check yourself in 2025.
So that's why I jumped in, because I saw all of that hate and I just wanted to stand up for
them. And I'm sorry, but I just been laughing. I decided not to jump into that because I get really emotional
and
now.
We got to start defending our friends. We can go to social media and do everything else, but in 2025, if people have been good to us, they have sat on our boards, they have donated, we need to defend them. We run our mouth about everything else.
We do, especially me. All right, so transitioning on to the next thing on our topic, some more mess, because you know, on Black Conversion Show, we love mess and we love politics. I want us to play this clip from CNN, y'all. This darn journalist on CNN did a 2024 roast and the woman went in. I think this is the first time I heard on the news where they were truth and honest and transparent and got away with saying things like white supremacy. And I've never heard anyone say that on CNN. So moving forward, she is my new favorite journalist. Is she a journalist or anchor? Her name is like Rosie something.
Let's see.
But she was really good. Take a listen.
I don't have big plans for after this.
Well, this was the year that we learned that roast probably shouldn't happen at important live events. Whitney Cummings, it is time for you to roast the year. Let's hear it.
Okay. Feel free to heckle me. Feel free to come for me. I do believe we need to hold 2024 accountable for its behavior. That is what white women do now. We point out other things that are toxic because we don't get irony. And that is our truth. This was the year that people were behaving so poorly.
Look at producer
Luke.
We started
being wistful about murderers. Remember, this was the year where we're like, were the Menendez brothers so bad? Were we too hard
on
the Menendez brothers?
But that's weird.
This was the year we could not get enough of murderers. Gypsy Rose became our favorite celebrity because murder your mom is so brat.
Yeah, it's weird.
They had her on a red carpet, a little on the nose for a murderer, but she was like posing in a fancy dress. We were like, slay, and she was like, I did. And of course, our heartthrob of the year was the alleged cold-blooded killer named Luigi.
Y'all love him. Y'all weird.
Diddy,
I do love
which
him.
Which I'm very upset about because Luigi already has a lower back issue. This was the year nothing made sense. Fertility was down. Sales of baby oil was up. White supremacy groups reached record highs. It got so bad, Ariana Grande became white again. 2024 totally broke our brains. Half the people I know think we're in a simulation. I'm starting to wonder. When I go to a website and it asks me if I'm a robot or not,
every
time I get the quiz wrong, I'm like, does the shadow of a bike count as a bike? I don't know. Why am I looking at a grainy photo of a crack house? We just all broke mentally this year. Things got so bleak, we started watching the WNBA.
She's
that
so
bogus. That
and
is
we also
wrong.
Started watching older women in movies. Equality
older
or
white
insanity?
Women.
You tell me. Demi Moore was in a movie called The Substance, showing that Hollywood's ready for a woman in her 50s to star in a movie as long as a hot 28-year-old wears a leotard for most of it. Pam Anderson's getting Oscar buzz for a movie she did wearing no makeup. Guys, it's not progress if you call it brave. Documentaries finally realized the only way to make money is to just make them about cheerleaders. The Dallas Cowboys cheerleader doc showed the girls being treated horribly.
I did watch that, though. That was actually really
crying.
Good.
I thought I'd open a video on Superman's laptop. This is the year everyone hated the movie The Joker, but if you do love watching men descend into insanity, in a couple hours, you get to watch Andy Cohen do the countdown. In 2024, some things left us, some came back. Sanity left us. Somehow crypto is back. Do you guys even know what crypto... No one thought the timing of crypto was fishy. As soon as women started making money, they were like, money's over.
And Trump money's supports
over.
It, so you
know
it's something's up.
As far as I understand, it's just astrology for men. Like, I don't... 2024 election fried our brains. The Democrats couldn't hold a primary because they were too busy holding a body
roasting
up,
roasting
right?
of 2024 by CNN.
Rolling in my office.
Go for it.
It was amazing. It was so
oh, my God. She absolutely snapped. You could end it, Luke. You could end it. But I just wanted to play that clip because I think she rocks and she is now my favorite person.
That is white liberal pandering.
Yeah,
though.
Pandering. Tell me more, Cousin
that
Clyde.
That is, if we are paying attention to the move as people who want to see rights and civil rights movements, Malcolm X spoke about white people will begin to have these type of conversations, and we have to question them. Like, why are you having these conversations? What clickbait are you trying to bring up? And should we trust you, right? So that's what that sounds like to me, is that she is actually not on the people's side that she preaches about. She's just trying to pick up some dust.
I agree, and
does she do outside of this interview?
I want to say this. I don't have an opinion about people outside of what I like in the moment. Mm-hmm. Because what I find is even people who are down for social justice and equity are only down to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about black power and community, some people are down as long as you speak in LGBTQ. But when you start talking about black women mm-hmm. and the intersection of being black, and then you start talking about dark skin and colorism, then my light people get lost. Okay. So I try not to judge people by, I'm just going to say I enjoyed it and I'll leave it there. April Kageyev, your thoughts?
See, I'm with Clyde. She was just doing that just because she had the stage in that particular moment.
And she could. And she could.
Right, and she could. Mm-hmm. But other than that, she doesn't care about those issues.
She does.
Of course she doesn't. About us.
Like,
of course she
doesn't. It was just for the views, and now she has Twitter followers, and now she's famous and whatever.
She's actually using her white privilege and throwing it in our face when she says, I'm a white woman and we could get away with this. Yeah. That is sick.
But black men in Madison do it all the time.
But I'd rather get it from them than a white woman.
Well, I'm not sure. There's no comparison, because when I think about black men who replicate this, to me, they're no different than white women. And that's why they're so close. And I'm going to piss some people off, and I'm going to take that piss, because the way that I see oppression is that when it comes to this hierarchy of oppression, we have this tendency to keep black women on the bottom and to perpetrate it, and black men have a tendency for connecting with white women and then doing it together. So we've seen on Facebook in political stands in local Madison, especially when it came around the charter school, white women jumped to the attention of this black man and supported all the dismissive, all the bullying, all the anti-blackness, and then other black men jumped in and did the same. So, and black women who are anti-black said it very like, oh, I can't believe this is happening to you. But so I agree with you.
You should have been at the second meeting, baby.
Oh, let's talk about it, because I agree. I was gone.
You sure should have.
I should have.
Baby, they came and now loaded.
Oh, okay. I didn't even have to say anything.
We didn't even have to say anything.
They were ready?
Girl.
Okay.
Girl, the white people stood and spoke, and we were just like.
Okay, white
they
people.
Actually spoke for me. They did? Said, like, this black leader black back here said.
Okay.
Yes. You are a developer, and you are trying to develop black kids. So finish your apartment.
They said, this program is a national program. This is not a Boys and Girls
Club program. What, the Avid program? So stop taking credit for it?
When I tell you white women gathered,
because white women could do that. I bet you they didn't show up on Facebook and bully them. Did they take pictures of them white women speaking truth to power?
No, I don't know about the Facebook drama.
You know they did.
No, I'm saying.
Okay, we got to get going.
Now there's a break. We got to go.
Stay tuned for the tea, y'all, because it is getting live up in here. Let's check out the conversation around the second meeting regarding these local charter school, which is a hot mess, and there's all kind of political stuff around it. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl, Brandi Grayson.
April Kigea.
And your favorite cousin, Clyde.
And our favorite producer, Luke. We'll be back in a jiff.
If this were...
And his wool. You tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. We are excited. We're in the studio. If you don't know, I am your girl, Brandi Grayson, hostess with the mostest, with my co-host,
April Kigea.
And your favorite cousin, Clyde.
Let's get into this tea. So as you guys might know, there is a charter school being proposed for high schoolers, funded and sponsored by the McKinneys. They had a second listening session, an engagement session that I wasn't able to attend. But let's listen to the folks who were, which happened to be my co-host. Go ahead, cousin Clyde.
Well, okay. I'm going to make this short. So I attended the first meeting with about 15 to 20 so-called...
It was 30 black people.
Yeah, about 30 black and brown folks. Mm-hmm. And that went the way we needed it to go, because the truth came out,
okay,
right?
Go ahead.
And so the second meeting, we were all, I guess, invited again.
I didn't go.
I received an email. Mm-hmm. And out of those 30 people, only me and April showed up. Mm-hmm. And so that speaks volumes.
So the black people, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but they didn't show up again?
Out of everybody that showed up to the first meeting, only me and April showed up.
We were done with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's okay to be done with it, but like April had to tell me, you can't throw the gasoline and fire and then just watch it all burn. Mm. You have to sit through that fire.
I guess
and
I'll so, come next time.
Yeah, no, but you were busy. You were coming in from out of town. It's not like you were not able. You would have been there if you were here.
And so, she would have been.
Yeah. And so going in, me and April had a game plan to just zip it and listen. Because it was a parent and student listening session.
Okay.
It wasn't a leader's listening session. Okay. And so from there.
Except there, unfortunately, there were no students there, which on their part, and I spoke to the McKinseys afterward and said, this is unfortunate because students really need to be at the table. And Jalen and someone else made a point of, this is for the students, but there are no students. Mm-hmm. Like, this is unacceptable because this is, you're claiming this is for the students. They need to be here. And Latoya, mm-hmm. she was saying that there was, you know, some scheduling issues or whatever. And so they're going to try to do better in the future. And I said, I'm a parent in the district. I'm happy to help recruit. And they were like, oh, but we already have people working on that. So, you know.
So can I just jump in and just say this? When you are connected to your community and you already know your community, you don't have to work that hard. So, and if you know who to call, you knew who to call. So you have people working on it who are not connected to the actual community that you desire to serve. And that is one of the biggest problems I have with this. Because if you actually want to hear students, it's not hard to hear students. Mm-hmm. And you have to stop creating the table and inviting people. You have to take the work to the table. Yep. So it should have been actually at a school, and you should actually do traveling listening sessions to different high schools. But go ahead, April.
Correct. And I offered to help, and they said, nope, we already got people doing that. So
people who don't know what they're doing, but go ahead.
Which is why they're on students there. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so then there were mainly, I think it was MTI folks, school district folks.
That Channel 27 News.
Was there. Ooh, I got to call him back.
Me too.
Because he reached out after. And Clyde, go ahead. I'll pass it back to you.
So just to kind of give people context, because we're going to talk facts in 2025. So this school is made up of a board, which is John and Tom, or his wife, Joe McKenzie. Vice president is Michael Johnson.
Of course.
Oscar Morales sit on the board. Corinda Moore sits on the board. A guy from Ohio named Jamal sits on the board. And Peter, who is a national
superintendent
in schooling, was also there. And some of the things that these folks that were there were calling out was that, A, this guy named Peter or Paul, who's a part of this national thing, was actually not even, he's not even supposed to legally be in these types of conversations. And so they were peed off about that. And then they also called out the McKinseys for actually being rich developers who need to finish their apartments. And that's why they go into struggling neighborhoods, hype folks up to say, we're going to get you jobs. And in the end, they want them to build their apartments. And so it's the board is made up of probably 80% of people who are not even from this city, but want to educate our kids in this city.
And folks who are not connected to the actual work of schooling or education or the vulnerable population. They are in peripheral. They are in the look of it. Because, you know, Madison, Dane County, we like people who look the part ain't really like the part.
Foolish.
But I won't go into that. Anything else? I know what you guys said, that the white people came and they stood their ground and they checked them. And they really finished the business that black people did. So shout out to all my white co-conspirators.
Because they were going off of the things that we actually said in the first meeting. So, period. Which were kind of, how did y'all get that?
You know what I bet didn't happen, though? I bet you Michael Johnson didn't bully any of them.
Oh, he didn't show up.
He didn't show up, Brandy.
It didn't matter. But it didn't matter. The truth was said, because when I said the same thing these white people said, I became, I'm going to issue a deceased and deceased letter, and please don't lose my number.
Have you received
that? No, I wish he would.
Me either. I'm waiting for mine.
Here's the thing. He was not there in person. He was there via phone.
So he heard everything.
Video.
So he heard everything. And here's another thing that they called out. They said, so why are you doing this? The McKinsey's like, oh, we want to help black and brown folks, blah, blah, blah. The school system is not working. So they said, okay, how about this? If you want to help the schools, why are you
just
not
invest your money
in schools that are already currently, go ahead.
Absolutely. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. We are discussing local politics in this local charter school. Your girl, Brandy Grayson.
Hey, Brookie Gaya.
And your favorite cousin, Clyde.
They said, if you want to invest in schools, why not do the schools already there? And they were like, oh no, but property taxes are doing that. And the school people said, property taxes are not enough. Take the money that you're going to put in the schools and invest that in our school district, invest that in one city. And they're like, oh no, but we want to do something different. And they're like, why are you doing something that's broken right now? Fix it. Why are you doing something else?
Yeah, like, so we're
and we'll talk about that next.
We're gonna continue this conversation next episode,
there's another meeting.
Because there is another meeting. Do you have the details?
I don't, but
we will.
I think they're not gonna do it.
Let's let's move on, you guys. There's more tea for you. In local news and politics, there is new candidates running for Alder in City Council, Madison City Council. We have Sabrina Madison, who is the current incumbent for District, I don't know, East Side. East Side over East Washington. We have Ashawn Burke running against her. Ashawn Burke is a racist, anti-black white dude who has been stalking me in urban triage, bullying other black women through city council, showing up at the human council. He is a thrown. He has have restraining orders against him through for people managing like city council administrators. He sued people. He is not it. So I'm going to ask Sabrina Madison to come on our show to talk about why we need to make sure he does not get in office. This guy is, I'm just going to leave it there. Any opinions on it?
But the city council love abusers.
They do love abusers. And they love people who abuse black people and women specifically. So we're going to continue this conversation next week. So you want to make sure you tune in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. Also, there's another seat up, which is Charles Mondesi, the black dude who's violent, another abuser, that we told y'all on the North Side that he should not be elected, but y'all chose this black man over.
And he was out getting signatures for re-election.
Was he out getting signatures?
Yes. And the fact that our city council hasn't done anything, this man should not even be allowed to run again.
I feel like the whole city council needs to resign.
The whole thing. Stop. He's running, and Carmela Glenn,
running against
she
him.
Is part of Public Health Dane County, and
who
she's
ain't
running.
Did nothing.
So we're gonna continue this conversation next week. We're actually gonna start with this conversation because apparently it's really juicy.
We got things to say.
And shout out to Civic Media for giving us more time moving forward because it is not enough time. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson,
Abra Kikea,
and your favorite cousin Clyde.
Make sure you see us next Saturday, 11 a.m. because it is apparently going down.
Yes.
Check out the tea on Black Conversion Show.